still holding back. And you don't, I don't want you to hold back. I want you to get loose.
Glory.
Amen. So we're going to sing this song, Set Free to Worship. And I want you to forget about everybody else and everything that's happened in the past. And I want you to concentrate on the Lord and get a hold of the Lord tonight. Grip the Lord by faith tonight. I believe we're going to hear from heaven tonight. I believe the spirit of prophecy is in this meeting now. I'm not waiting for it to come in then. It's already in it. It's already here. And the Lord has a word for people in the next service tonight. God wants us to worship Him.
Amen.
He's given you two hands and you can lift and praise Him. He's given you a tongue and the Bible says make a joyful noise to the Lord. Not a joyful silence. Joyful noise. I'll tell you, heaven's going to be loud. Don't think heaven's going to be quiet. It's not going to be quiet. It's going to be loud. It's going to be rejoicing to the Lamb. To no other man but the Lamb. Let's sing this praise God before brother comes. Let's really sing it tonight. You believe God's going to speak to you tonight? I want you to believe God's going to speak to you, but I want you to go more. I want you to believe God's going to do something for you in this meeting before you leave it.
Amen.
I want a brother to take his liberty if he feels to pray for people after he preaches. I want him to do it. I want him to be free in the Spirit of God tonight. And I want you to be free to receive from the Lord. Quit worrying about what's happening, what's taking place. Your work or home, concentrate in the Lord. Let's sing it, brother, a few times before Brother Andrew comes. Praise God, the Lord. Bless everyone tonight. Praise God.
That's great to worship. I'm set free to worship. I'm set free to praise His holy name. I'll laugh, I'll dance, I'll shout, I'll sing. Hallelujah, praise to the King of Kings. Set free to my divine love. Set free to worship. I'm set free to worship. I'm set free to praise His holy name. I'll laugh, I'll dance, I'll shout, I'll sing. Hallelujah, and to the King of Kings. Set free to my divine.
One more time, to Brother Andrew, come ahead, brother.
Set free to worship. I'm set free to worship. I'm set free to praise His holy name. I'll laugh, I'll dance, I'll shout, I'll sing. Hallelujah, amen, to the King of Kings. Set free to magnify the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Shall we just pray? Father, we want to thank you tonight that we're able to come into this place once again. Lord, to be able to gather with brothers and sisters alike, precious faith, to be able to come and fellowship around thy precious word, Father. And we thank you for thy Holy Spirit, Lord, which is life. And we come tonight to draw on that life once again, Father. We know that it's inexhaustible, Lord. There's no end to it, Father. We can just, Lord, it can be, Lord, we're this morning, but Lord, you're here right now, and we want to draw on that freshness once again. Lord, you never grow tired, you never grow weary, Lord. And so, Lord, tonight we want to come, Lord, and draw afresh, Lord, from the wells of salvation, Father. Lord, pour out a blessing upon your people tonight. Touch your people, Father, again. We know your presence is here, Father. And we pray that the Holy Ghost may have free course. And that the word of the Lord may have free course. That, Lord, as Paul asked the church to pray for him, Lord, that he may make it manifest as he ought. And we pray that, God, you'll override all human ideas, human thoughts, human inhibitions, Lord. Get self out of the way, Father, that you could come down in a very real way and speak to hearts tonight. I pray that God, the Spirit of God, will set every captive free. I pray, God, that every chain shall be broken. I pray that, Lord, the Spirit of God will go to the root cause of every problem, every situation, every life. Search it out, Lord, and Lord, bring liberty to your children, to your people, Father. That we could go from this place and we could say it was good that we're in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
We want to commit everything to you now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll not be forgetful, Lord, or negligent to give you all the glory, Father.
Amen.
So we commit all things to you now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Good once again to be back and to share from the scriptures. As Brother Tommy mentioned this morning, I want to preach tonight from the subject, it was a message called Earthquake Deliverance. So I was going to preach it this morning, but I failed to preach the other one, so I kind of turned things around a little bit. But tonight I'd like to preach that message. If you've got your Bibles with you, would you turn with me please into the book of Acts chapter 16, and we're going to read just two verses, verse 25 and verse 26. Pardon me, we'll read from verse 25 and we'll go down to verse 31, sorry. Amen, praise the Lord. It says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here."
Amen.
Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house."
Amen.
Praise the Lord, that still stands good today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the Lord bless his word. Please take your seats tonight, friends. So we're going to speak tonight to a little subject which I've entitled Earthquake Deliverance. You know, there's so much going on in the world at the moment, and I know really the pulpit's not a place for politics, but sometimes when you see things happening today, you just can't help seeing that really there's a spiritual application to it. And I guess you're all aware, as we are over in England at the minute, with all this situation with the Brexit and everything that's taking place there, but it just really seems to be what is happening now is really, to me, a little bit more than just politics. There seems to be going on behind the scenes a spiritual battle that's taking place.
Right.
And, you know, it's just really more than politics which is happening now. There's just something happening there. You know, sometimes you see things and you're aware of things. You can't really put your hand upon it, but you're just aware that something's taken place. And I really think today for the people of God, we're aware something's happening. We're not always aware, clear of what it is, but you're just aware that there's something happening. And really, with what is all taking place now in the political, you know, really what's happening in the natural realm is just a manifestation of what is happening in the spiritual realm. When it spills over into the natural realm, it's just really manifesting itself. You know, when God was speaking to Daniel about the things he was seeing, the great events that were coming on the world and the various kingdoms, Daniel saw that in the spirit before it ever came into the world. Before it was ever manifest there, God was showing him behind the scenes those spirits at work. See, it really wasn't a flesh and blood situation. It was a spiritual thing. And Daniel was shown that. Now, when it got into the political realm, into the world realm, and those Gentile kingdoms there, then it's manifesting. But really where it starts is in the spiritual realm. And that's why I really believe that as Christians, we pray into a spiritual realm. Our battle's not with flesh and blood. It's not a flesh and blood issue. It's a spiritual warfare that's taking place. We can get so taken up with the flesh and blood side of things and what we're seeing, that we really lose sight of where the battle's really at. You know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness. And again, we're given the weapons of our warfare, as Paul told us. They're not carnal. If we were fighting a carnal battle, then we'd be given carnal weapons. We'd have a means whereby we could deal with those things. But you know, what God gave to fight this battle is His Spirit. You know, He didn't give us educations or PhDs or great wisdom. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things, but really, in a spiritual battle, it takes spiritual weapons to fight a spiritual battle. Praise the Lord. We're going to live a Christian life, and we're going to have the Spirit of God to live that life. You cannot live it under your own means and by your own strength. It takes the Spirit of the living God. So many people come along and they say, well, I can't live the life. Well, really, that's a good place to be. Because God wants you to know you can't live that life. Because when you realize that, then He can do it for you. Amen. When you come to a place where you recognize there's nothing you can do about it, you can turn to Him. The great problem today in the church, that we're in the age that we're living, is everything is self-sufficient. Everything is, people just have, think they can do everything. But it's a good lesson to learn, really, and I believe God learns all His children. Sometimes it takes a good while to learn them, but I believe He learns all His children that you cannot do this. It takes My Spirit. That was the great thing about Pentecost. I don't know if I ever preached here about the disciples' Gethsemane, but you know, before the disciples, we talk very often about Pentecost, and praise the Lord for that. But before they went to Pentecost, they had to go to Gethsemane. Now, they didn't go to Gethsemane to overcome. If they could have overcome Gethsemane, then really Jesus wouldn't have had to overcome Gethsemane. There was only one overcomer in Gethsemane, praise the Lord, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But there only had to be one overcomer in Gethsemane. Amen. The rest of those disciples failed. But he took them there knowing, or really to show them that it's not how they overcome, it's that He overcome for us. Amen. So when they get, when they come out of that experience and come through all that event, then He tells them to go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Now they were a people that knew that they couldn't do it because He'd shown them that. And so they go to Jerusalem now and tarry in that upper room and to wait for the Holy Ghost. And that should be the desire of every person that comes to Christ, is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't try and live your life on some religious, on religion, or going to a church, or believing some part of something. You must be born again and filled with the Spirit of God. Outside of that, we're lost. We cannot comprehend the things of God without the Spirit of God. We cannot see the things of God without the Spirit of God. It takes the Holy Ghost. It's been preached so much, but I don't apologize for that, because it's the absolute necessity and the essential of the church. That without, Jesus said, without Me, you can do nothing. And He said, I'm going to come back to you by the Holy Spirit and live in you. Now, outside of that, there's no way we can do it. But praise the Lord, God made a way. So make it a desire. See, and not a, even after we receive the Holy Ghost. You know, the disciples, just after receiving the Holy Ghost, prayed that not long after that, that God would again fill them with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I like that. I preached a message once called The Prayer of the Early Church. Now remember, their prayer and desire was for God to stretch forth His hand in signs and in wonders and in miracles. But there was, the reason they prayed that prayer, first and foremost, that they might speak the Word of God with boldness. Amen. They weren't just praying for the signs and the wonders and the miracles and all that, the rest of it, just to be entertained or to go with that. They were praying ultimately and first and foremost that they might speak the Word of God with boldness.
Amen.
God sends signs and wonders to confirm His Word, but ultimately it's that we speak the Word of God with Holy Ghost boldness.
Amen.
Praise, I believe in Holy Ghost boldness.
Amen.
But I believe that God has to give us Holy Ghost boldness.
Amen.
Naturally speaking, we're humanly cowards. But when a man's born and filled with the Holy, they will do things with the Spirit of God. That you wouldn't do naturally. Praise the Lord. And we can look back in history and see how that men and women gave their lives. They went to the stake. They were fed to lions. Suffered terrible tortures. But under the Spirit, by the Spirit of God, under that anointing. I read once or I heard once that that anointing on those early martyrs, those early saints in the arenas there, was so powerful that sometimes the lions wouldn't go near them. Now, it's tremendous, isn't it? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, and God's got an anointing for this age. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whereby He anoints the church so they can see who it is in Christ. And if ever there was a time that we ought to be seeing who we are in Jesus Christ, not who we wish to be, but who we are, not who we're going to be, but who we are in Jesus Christ, to be able to recognize our position in Jesus Christ. If ever there was a day for that revelation to be sinking deep into the hearts and the minds of the people of God, it's today. Hallelujah, to know just who we are in Christ, that we might go up, praise the Lord, and possess the promises of God.
Amen.
You know, it's to lay hold on the promises of God. God wants us to be a believing people. Now that might sound like an obvious statement, but sometimes we're anything but a believing people.
Yes.
Is that right? Yes. Very often we're a doubting people. We're a questioning people. We're a people that come along and seek to analyze things. Well, God doesn't want that.
Amen.
He wants us to simply take him at his word.
Amen.
He wants us simply to believe what he says in his word and to stand upon his word, to make the word of God our confession. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so what we're seeing today in the political realm is really something that's spilling over from something that's taking place in the spiritual realm. Remember that, again, it was in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar. God taught that king a great lesson. Nebuchadnezzar being the first Gentile king. And as a result, God showing through that Gentile king all the Gentile powers and nations that should come after, that the heavens do rule. That it's not about flesh and blood. Nehemiah got lifted up in his heart. He got full of pride. And every Gentile nation that's ever come to its end is because it got lifted up in pride, became arrogance. And God, through that Gentile king, is showing him that it's not about, it's God who sets up. It's God who puts down. Now, but that's the case. We can only affect that realm. Not by a political vote. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there is. But the thing, how we affect those things is by prayer. And if Brexit's ever shown me anything other than that, it's that it's not about a vote, because your vote doesn't matter. They're seeking every way they can seek to try and overturn that. Is that right? They're doing everything. The media and everything else is coming. Now, however you voted, I'm not here to give a political party political address. But you understand what I'm saying is
Amen.
That it doesn't make any difference.
Right. Amen.
But the only way that is going to be affected is by prayer.
Amen.
The only way that what's happening behind the scenes, it is not going to your MP or complaining to Parliament. It is going to be because the Church of Jesus Christ prays. Praise the Lord. So what is taking place now behind the scenes is really a spiritual battle that's going on. And it's intensifying because something's happening. I really believe that there is a power has been broken. Or there is a power behind the scenes that has been affected. You might say to me, what's that got to do with the book of Acts? Well, let's go back a little bit. Let's look in the same chapter, chapter 16. And let's look at verse 16. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now that word for divination there is the Greek word is python, or pythos. It comes from there was an altar in Delphi there where they used to go and inquire. It was in the form of a snake. But I kind of thought it was quite strange, really, that girl was possessed with a spirit of divination, the spirit of a python. Well, what does a python do? Well, a python squeezes.
Yes.
Is that right? A python squeezes the life out of you. Now, it's amazing what they're talking about in the secular realm or the political realm. They're talking about a squeeze.
Yes.
You know, they're talking about a squeeze.
Yes.
Now, I want you to keep in mind, this isn't natural. Keep in mind the spiritual application, because they both work side by side. So this girl has got this spirit of divination there, or the spirit of a python there, and through that spirit, her masters are controlling the people.
Mm-hmm.
Now we realize that it's a spiritual, we're fighting a spiritual warfare, not a natural warfare, a spiritual warfare. So it's behind this, that's why I was speaking this morning about discernment, to recognize that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not aware of those things, then we're not really going to be effective. But if by the Spirit of God and by the grace of God, we can see what is happening behind the scenes, by God revealing those things to us, then we can pray into those circumstances. Then we can pray into those situations. Praise the Lord. And so she had this spirit there, and she was bringing her masters. In other words, her masters through that girl, through that damsel there, were controlling the people. You might as well face it, folks. Everyone is controlled by a spirit. Now it's either the Spirit of God or it's the spirit of the devil.
Right.
There are only two spirits. They have many, many offshoots from that, but it really comes down to two spirits. We are controlled and we are affected by those two spirits, either by the Spirit of God or by the spirit of the devil. We can't get out of that. And so it goes on to say, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. I want to ask you a question. Was what that girl saying the truth?
Amen. Yes.
Is that right? Was that the truth? Was she correct in what she was saying? Now she's got a spirit of divination. It's not the Spirit of God, but it's saying exactly what the Spirit of God would say.
Yes.
You know, it's confessing exactly. It's confessing exactly what a person with the spiritual discernment would say, the same thing. A person with the Spirit of God would say exactly, it would recognize Paul as a messenger of God. It would recognize the people that were with Paul as the messengers of God. But that same Spirit that's on that girl is doing exactly the same thing, but it's the Spirit of divination. It's not the Spirit of God, but it's, you see, but it's saying exactly what the Spirit of God will say. Divination, discernment, they both recognize. Remember, it's a spiritual battle that's taking place. Now, a wrong spirit very often will begin correctly. But if it's a wrong spirit, sooner or later, it is going to get off the mark.
Right, amen.
You see, friends, a wrong spirit comes and says exactly the truth. It might preach exactly the truth. But after a while, if it's not the Spirit of God, if it's not the Spirit of Jesus Christ, it is going to get off the mark. Notice the Bible says that that girl followed Paul and them around. She didn't just meet them one day in the marketplace and said, oh, by the way, these are the messengers of God. She followed them around. In other words, she did that for many days and she stayed with them. You see, that spirit was hanging around the true Spirit of God.
Yes,
that spirit was sticking around the true Spirit of God and saying exactly what the true Spirit of God would say. Identifying exactly what the true Spirit of God would say, but it wasn't the Spirit of God. So she stayed with Paul. She stayed with those people. And making that a confession. But after a while, if it's not the Spirit of God, it will eventually get off the mark. It will eventually go wrong. It will eventually lead you away from Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now, we notice here the Bible tells us that Paul, the Bible says, was grieved.
Amen.
Now, sometimes we can have an experience where you meet certain things or around certain things. There's just something in your spirit doesn't witness with it. Is that right? Now you can't say yay or nay sometimes. You just don't know, but there's just something in you. You just feel there's just something there that don't quite just sit right. It reminds me in the Old Testament there in the Bible where King Ahab wanted to go up and get land back for the people there. He got Jehoshaphat together there and got his armies together and so forth, and they had their throne set and sat in the place where all the prophets are prophesying to him. Ahab's got those 400 prophets there and telling him, thus saith the Lord, go up. But watch the ratio. Always the ratio is the wrong are the more and the right are in the few.
Amen.
That's why I spoke this morning about the work of restoration being the remnant. But you've got 400 prophets there, all prophesying, all saying, thus saith the Lord. That must have been some convention, friends. That must have been some service. And could you imagine for a moment being around that? Because there's no question about it, you would have come around that influence. You see, because spirits influence things. You cannot be around spirits and not be influenced. You cannot be around the Spirit of God and not be influenced by it. But I want to say also, you cannot be around the wrong spirit and not be influenced by it. And so they're all sat there and listening to those things, and they're giving, thus saith the Lord. Now, I think it was Zedekiah, that prophet, and got those horns of iron and said, go on up, thus saith the Lord, you're gonna get that land back. And fundamentally, what they were saying was the truth. What they were declaring was the truth. That land belonged to them. Ahab could have gone to the word of God and said, thus saith the scriptures. God gave us that land. We have a right to be there. Moses told us we had a right to be there. Joshua put us in the land. The enemy's come up, he's took land back from us. And so they could have fundamentally, it's not about the fundamentals though, friends. Fundamentally, they could have done it and gone and said, we'll go and get that land back. And so they're all going through the motions there. But there was a man there by the name of Jehoshaphat. And sat on that throne there. Now he's a spiritual man. And there's a difference between religion, somebody who's religious, and somebody who's spiritual.
Amen.
I met many religious people, but there's also spiritual people.
Amen.
And generally, spiritual people aren't really very religious.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
But if you get around them there, you're going to find out that there's just something more about those people. They're people you want to push to one side and say, well, but there's just something about those people. I like people like that. I like to be in fellowship with people like that. They don't have to prove anything. They don't have to be anything. They're just who they are.
Amen.
So Joseph, that's a spiritual man. Hallelujah. And so he sat on that throne and he said, you know, just something in his spirit, just quiet him and witness with it. But they're all prophesying, they're all saying, go on up. And so Jehoshaphat asks the question, have you got another prophet here besides? And he said, well, I've got one, but I don't like him, because every time he comes up and prophesies, he's prophesying against me. But so Jehoshaphat said, well, you better go and get him. You know, if you ever get that little check in your spirit, if you ever get that little witness in your spirit, it's best to listen to him.
Amen.
It's best to watch it.
Amen.
Jehoshaphat wasn't seeking to be critical. He wasn't seeking there to cause trouble. But something in his spirit told him there's just something wrong somewhere.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And today in which we're living, you know, sometimes amongst the people of God, there's just something in your spirit says there's just something wrong somewhere. In other words, the old expression, there's a fly in the ointment. There's just something not sit quite right. And so Micaiah comes up and, you know, notice, he just says, first he comes before him and says, go on up. You see, apostasy. Three signs God has given somebody over to that. The first thing is, he's going to tell you, the first thing he's going to do, he's going to remove spiritual leaders and give you the leaders you want. That's what Ahab got. The second thing he's going to do, he's going to tell you exactly what you want to hear.
Amen.
That's exactly what Ahab got. So Micaiah comes up there and says, go on up.
Yes. Amen.
And but something in Micaiah, in Joseph, that doesn't sit right. So Ahab says, how many times have I told you, you don't tell me anything but the word of the Lord. And so we got the word of the Lord. But even after receiving the word of the Lord, he still didn't want to receive it. But you see, God had shown that man, Jehoshaphat, there's something wrong somewhere. And I believe today that God shows his people.
Amen.
There's something wrong somewhere. Not that you're being critical, not that you're being judgmental, not that you're being condemning, but there's just something don't sit right somewhere. Praise the Lord. And so here's Paul with that damsel, getting back to the story now. And she's following around many days, but saying exactly what the Spirit of God would say. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody came here and prophesied and said, that's a servant of God. We greatly appreciate it. It'll make us feel good. But you see, Paul was a little bit deeper than that. It's not just about somebody recognizing a servant of God. It's about the Spirit of God recognizing the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And so that woman calling around, but there's just something in Paul didn't quite witness with it. And after, you know, I believe Paul, the Bible said, after many days, you know what I believe Paul was doing? I believe he was watching that spirit. Trying to discern that spirit. Waiting for God to show him.
Right.
Waiting for God. Now, you know what would have happened if Paul hadn't discerned that spirit? If Paul hadn't recognized that was the spirit of the enemy. Now, how could he recognize it was the spirit of the enemy? By what she was saying? No. Because she was saying the right thing. By spiritually discerning that.
Amen.
You understand? By spiritually discerning that.
Right.
Not because of what she was... Many people say the right things. Many people do the right things.
Right.
But if it's not the Spirit of God, you watch down the road, it's going to veer off.
Amen.
It's going to go take a wrong turn. It's going to go down a wrong channel. And it will always lead away from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, if Paul hadn't discerned that spirit, if Paul hadn't recognized that spirit, you know what it would have done? It would have eventually wound up by worshipping Paul. It would have eventually just wound up by worshipping Paul. But Paul, by the Spirit of God, discerned that thing and could recognize that's not the Spirit of Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And we need that discernment in the church today, man. Like I spoke this morning of Nehemiah. Nehemiah perceived that God hadn't sent that man. God hadn't sent those prophets. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, that's exactly what the rot said in the church at the beginning. Was men going out that were not sent by God. We look today in the church and we say the church is in such a mess. Well, I guess it is. We say the church is cold. And I guess it is. The church is in a bad condition. And I'm sure it is. But you've got to get back to the root cause of the problem. Sometimes we spend so many times trying to deal with the symptoms that we don't deal with the root cause. Why is it cold? How did we get to where we've got to today, from the church in the beginning to where we are today, to a church that is poor, blind, wretched, miserable, and naked? There's got to be a reason for it. And the reason is, you can only find the reason as you go to the doctor's book. You go to the Word of God. and see what it says in the Word of God. You know, the Bible talks of a church in this last days which is poor, blind, wretched, miserable, and naked. Now that's a bad condition. But I want you to know there's nothing wrong with being poor, blind, wretched, miserable, and naked, just so long as you know it.
Amen.
Just so long as you know it.
Amen.
Because when you know it, God can help you.
Amen.
And everybody that comes to Jesus Christ comes poor, blind, wretched, miserable, and naked. But he's got a robe of righteousness for you. He's got some oil for you. He's got some eye salve for you. But there's a church in this day. There's a church in this last day in that condition. You know what that tells me? Revelation 3 verse 17, that speaks volumes. That tells me one thing. There is a church in this day that is receiving another gospel. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to clothe you. The gospel of Jesus Christ is going to give you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is going to anoint your eyes with eyes so that thou mayest see. Hallelujah. The gospel of Jesus Christ has got a robe of righteousness, a white robe for you. Hallelujah. But there's a church claiming to be a church in this day. Claiming to be a church. You know, it started with a false claim right at the beginning. The book of Genesis. And it's finishing with a false claim. But it goes to tell me something. There's a church here that's received another gospel. Paul spoke about another gospel. He spoke about another Jesus. He even spoke about another spirit. But let me tell you something. That another spirit was Paul was talking about was a religious spirit. He's talking to Christians. It wasn't a worldly unclean spirit. It was a religious spirit. But he said there's another spirit impersonating the Holy Spirit. See, the deception gets so great as we get towards the end now. The deception gets so powerful as we get towards the end now. You must be born again.
Amen.
You must be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You must be led by the Holy Spirit. You must be under the control of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
How are we going to stand in this day without the Spirit of God? How are we going to get through the morass of the days we're living without the Spirit of God? But he promised it.
Amen.
To every child of God.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
But it goes to show us great things in the scriptures. That we're living in a strange time. Isn't it going to be terrible? Could you imagine? Jesus, and remember, let me get back to what I was saying. Just thought comes back to me there. That the conditions, you've got to deal with the symptom. Yes, the conditions of the church are a poor, blind, wretched, miserable, and naked. But you've got to go back to the beginning. It all started with men going out that were not sent by God. It began with man trying to do God's work for him. Every time the church hits a mess, it comes down to one simple thing. Somebody's tried to give God a helping hand. Somebody's tried to do the work of the work that God allotted for himself to do. They tried to do that themselves. But it's the job of the Spirit of God to do it.
Amen.
All God wants you and me to be is subject to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Subject to the control of the Holy Spirit. And so let's read on. So Paul, if he hadn't recognized that, eventually that spirit would have gone and started to worship Paul. Because it was not the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ, hallelujah, will always glorify Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Spirit of God will always magnify Jesus Christ. It will
Amen.
Not magnify a man. It will not magnify a messenger. It will not magnify a movement. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ. When Paul went down and preached at a great revival meeting over in Acts 19 there, the Bible said those demons were cast out and so forth. Many people sold their books and the curious arts and things that they were working with. But the Bible says the word of God, the name of the Lord was magnified.
Amen.
Not Paul. The Bible doesn't say Paul was magnified.
Right.
The Bible says the name of the Lord was
Amen.
Magnified.
Amen.
And the word of God
right.
prevailed.
Amen.
When the name of Jesus is lifted up.
Right.
When the name of Jesus is
Amen.
Exalted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then the word of God
Glory.
Is going to prevail.
Amen.
When the gospel's preached. When the cross is preached,
yes.
when the blood of Jesus is preached,
yes.
then the word of the Lord
yes.
is going to prevail.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God has never changed.
Amen.
The message of the gospel has never changed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus said, if I be lifted up,
yes.
If I, not if a movement's lifted up, not if a man's lifted up, if I be lifted up,
amen.
Hallelujah,
I'll draw all men to me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He just said, lift me up, I'll do the rest.
Yeah.
Exalt me, I'll do the rest. Glorify me, I'll do the rest. Preach me, I'll do the rest. Hallelujah. But here's the church now. Men going out. One thing was certain about those men that went out in the early church over in Revelation chapter 2 there. They were not glorifying Jesus Christ. They were not exalting Jesus Christ. We know that by the history of the church, how it moved away from God. How that Jesus, I'll remove your candlestick. They got away from God and sank to the very depths. All because they moved away. But the cause was men going out that were not sent by God. We very often spend so much time dealing with the symptoms. We don't deal with the cause. But if you deal with the cause, the symptoms aren't going to come again.
Amen.
If you get the cause sorted out, those symptoms are not going to repeat themselves again. You know, you can treat the symptoms and they can go for a while, but you've not got the root of the problem. So eventually you can cover it over, you can put sticking plasters on it, you can put powder over it, but eventually that festering sore will manifest itself again. But if you ever get to the cause of the problem, see, Jesus, praise the Lord, he dealt, when Jesus comes, he deals with the root of the problem. When Jesus comes, he deals with the root cause of the disease. Hallelujah. Like that rich man came to Jesus. He said, oh, I've done all the... He asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, you know the commandments? He said, I've kept all these commandments. But Jesus, hallelujah, said, you're one thing thou lackest. He went to the root cause of the problem. Jesus will always deal with the root cause of sin. The cross will always deal with the root... That's why it's hated. That's why it's put out of the church. The preaching of the gospel goes to the root cause of the problem.
Amen.
But man doesn't want that. He wants to live with his sin. He wants to live with his disease. He wants to adapt to his condition. One thing about human beings is we're good at adapting to the conditions we're living in.
Yeah.
It amazes me. You know, when the prophet Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations goes through a whole list of tragedies and events that have taken place in Jerusalem, the people taken away, the horrible things that have taken place there. And the conditions are so bad. But at the end of that chapter, the end of that book there, it's the fifth chapter, almost the last verse, prophet Jeremiah prays a prayer. Turn us, O Lord, and we shall be turned.
Amen.
Now, wouldn't you think after seeing all those things, after going through all those events, that you'd want to be turned, that you'd naturally want to be turned? But human nature is so vile. It's so fallen. It's so wretched. That all it will do is it will adapt to its conditions. No matter how low it sinks.
Yes.
No matter how bad it gets. It will just seek to. That's what the church is doing.
That's right.
Seeking to adapt to the conditions. You hear people talk today. They go out into the world and say, what would you like for to come into church? What would it take to bring you? You don't bring people to Christ like that.
Amen.
But that's what they do. Adapting to the conditions.
Right.
But the thing is, Jesus didn't come to adapt to the conditions. He saved it. He didn't come to justify man in their sin. He didn't come to make excuses for the conditions of fallen man. He came to save man.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Calvary wasn't just a couple of tacks in somebody's hand and feet. It was a bloody mess on that cross.
Right.
Whipped, beaten, torn apart.
Right.
God judging sin.
Yes.
But we sanitize it. We make it clean. We make sin not so bad. Sin is a killer.
Right.
It will destroy.
Right.
Or you say, well, I'm the church. Through those church ages. You know, there's a word in the church we don't like to hear very much. And it's the word repent. Mm-hmm. It's all right for the world. It's all right for the sinner. But it's a word we don't like as Christians. And yet through the church ages, Jesus says 7 times, repent.
That's right.
Amen.
We should always have to be able to repent before
Amen.
God.
Amen.
We should always have that spirit that comes before God in humbleness and brokenness.
Right.
Like I said, we talk so much about the power today. I want to ask a question. Where's the brokenness?
Amen.
Where's the brokenness today? Where's the nothingness of self and all of Christ? Praise the Lord. But we learn to adapt. We learn to adapt to the conditions we're in. Praise the Lord. God help us. And so Paul Cast that spirit out. Let me get back, verse 18. And this she did many days, and Paul being grieved. Turn, you know, one thing about the Holy Spirit. If it's the Holy Spirit, it will not grieve you if you're a child of God. It might convict you, but even that's a blessing if it's the Spirit of God doing it.
Amen.
But the Spirit of God will not grieve you.
Amen.
Amen. So, Paul being grieved. That should have been one of the great signs that that's not the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Paul being grieved turned and said to the Spirit, I come, he didn't say to the damsel, said to the, see, Paul knew where the battle was.
Amen.
He knew where the problem was. Yeah. Wasn't the girl, wasn't even those people. That behind the scenes, behind the scenes, there's a Spirit at work.
Right.
So Paul, by the Spirit of God, goes to the root cause of the problem. He didn't give the girl a dressing down. He didn't tell the girl, you know, you need to go and see a psychiatrist.
No.
He went to the root cause of the problem.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out. I like that. I command thee.
Yeah.
Oh, what words. What words. I command thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to come out of it. You know, those spirits are still going to listen to that name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Those devils are still going to be subject to that name. Praise the Lord. Those demons of hell are still going to be subject to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. They still tremble at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Notice, and when the master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, notice, when the in other words, the people that were controlling, see, behind the scenes there's a spirit, but the people that were controlling that, when they saw the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and the rulers. Notice this, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. I want you to notice something. These people were not remotely interested about the city. They were not remotely interested about the people. Plain and simple, their power base had been broken. Their control had been broken. And I believe that's exactly what we're seeing today over in that political realm. There's something happened there. There's a power base being broken. Now, I don't profess to understand everything that is going on. But I know we're in a spiritual warfare. We're in a spiritual battle. However you voted, that is entirely up to you. Now, I'm not here to talk about politics, but what I'm saying is, behind the scenes, there is a power base that has been broken. And so these masters have lost control. One thing the devil likes is control.
Yeah.
He likes control in your life. He likes control in your home. The devil seeks to control and dominate. And when they saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they drew them into the marketplace. They weren't bothered about the people. They weren't bothered about the city or anything else. They were just quite simply bothered that they were losing control and they were losing the money. Things haven't changed too much, friends. Is that right? You know, things are pretty much the same. It all comes down to that old filthy lucre, doesn't it? Really. It all comes down to that one. You know, when a little boy used to watch those films, the James Bond films and things like that. You used to see the bad guy wanting to rule the world. Fantasy. But it ain't so far removed from the truth. You know? It's not so far removed from the truth because really, man wants to control. Why? Because the devil wants to control. You go back to the word of God and see. Satan said, I'll give you all that if you fall down and worship me. So that spirit seeks to control. It seeks to dominate. And any spirit that will seek to dominate you, let me say something, friend. Any spirit which seeks to dominate you is not the Spirit of God.
Amen.
It's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will lead.
Amen.
When He has come, He will lead you
into
all truth. He's not there to dominate you. He's not there to control you. He's not there to put a big rod over your back there. He's there to lead you. And any ministry that's of God is not there to dominate. It's not there to control. It's there under the leadership of God to lead the people. The job of a shepherd, what's it? He leads.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The job of any ministry is there to lead. Not dominate, not control. Praise the Lord. When When somebody is seeking to control and dominate like that, that just goes to show you that's not God. It's not God. Because that's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God doesn't do that. And it shows that there's a fear there that they're trying to control. You don't have to do that if it's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will control His church. He'll watch over His church. The church is led by the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Notice it says verse 20. And they brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." So now they're getting all the people stirred up. Isn't that what we're seeing today? You can't turn that television on or pick up a newspaper and see. The media is just full of it. It's doom and gloom. It's fear everywhere.
Right.
If this happens, the world's going to come to an end. We're not going to have enough medicine. This is going to happen. They've even sank so low to say you won't even have enough dog food. Everything. Everything's being thrown at it there. Oh, it's all just going to fall apart. Everything is going to come just tumbling down. And so now they get everybody else worked up. They get everybody else stirred up. You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that one day when that beast spews those waters out of his mouth, the earth's going to help him. It's going to open his mouth and swallow the waters.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. God's got a way of doing things, friends.
Amen.
And he brought them to the magistrates. Excuse me. Oh, notice verse 21. And teach customs which it's not lawful to receive. Notice, neither to observe, being Romans. I put next to that the EU.
Amen.
Maybe I shouldn't have done that, but
amen.
You know.
Right.
But the Bible tells us it's the Treaty of Rome.
Right.
It's the Treaty of Rome. The whole thing was set up on the basis of the Jesuits.
That's
the truth.
Right.
Amen. Chancellor Cole, one of the architects of the European Union, was advised every day by two Jesuits. That's not fantasy, friends. That's the truth.
Amen.
You can research that. You can look that up.
That's right.
So now, they get the people all, they're all against this thing. They're against it and stirring the people up through fear. They weren't bothered about the customs. They weren't even bothered about the laws. The only thing they were bothered about was the control had been broken.
That's right.
That a spirit had been broken behind the scenes and they were powerless. That's the job of the Church of Jesus Christ, to pray into that realm.
Amen.
To pray against those principalities, against those powers.
Amen.
Again, I pray every day that God would break up these trafficking gangs.
Amen.
That's in the world today.
Right.
I pray every day that God would come on the scene and smash the whole thing up. Terrible things happen, and I believe we have a right as the Church of Jesus.
Right.
We're the light of the world.
Amen.
We have a responsibility to fight against those principalities. Not only that, we have the authority to come against those sins. We have the authority. You know, it's an amazing scripture. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You ever notice that? He didn't say greater is He that's in the church collectively, which of course that is true, but He makes it personal. Greater is He that's in you, the person, than he that's in the whole world, Satan. So you as an individual believer, you say everything, it's all just coming apart, but you as a child of God, you as an if you're the only individual believer there is, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham made a statement. He said, one day the church is going to recognize who she is. One day the church is going to wake up. You know, the Bible tells us about those virgins. Or they, you know, we talk about the foolish virgins, but the Bible says they all slumbered and slept. Brother, we need a waking up.
Amen.
I need a waking up.
Glory.
But I can't wake myself up. Like Jeremiah prayed, turn us all, we shall be turned.
Amen.
We can get so very quickly used to the conditions we're in. But I pray, oh God, send a shaking.
Amen.
Wake your church up, Lord.
Glory.
Shake your church up, Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, if we shake ourselves up, we roll over and go back to sleep again. That's right. But if God ever wakes the church up, if Jesus Christ ever stirs the church up, if the Spirit of God ever moves upon the church, she's going to wake up, she's going to stay awake. She's going to get up, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it goes on to say, and the multitude rose up together. Now they've got the multitude all stirred up. Now they've got the media there, has got everybody else whipped up. They've got everybody else to do a frenzy. Oh, we're going to lose this. This is going to happen. That's going to take place. rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Notice, we'll get to our text in a minute, I'm not going to be quickly on it. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Notice, he didn't just put them in prison. You know, when Satan wants to keep something quiet, he does a good job of it. So he don't just put them in prison, he puts them in the inner prison. They ain't getting out of there. Naturally speaking, there's no way out of that prison house. Naturally speaking, there's no way out of that stocks. They're in the inner prison. The inner prison, not just the out, the inner prison. So they're fastened in there. There's no way out outside of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I'm talking about an earthquake deliverance, friend.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There's no way they can get out of there outside of God. You might find yourself in the same place. You might find yourself in a situation you can't get out of it. But hallelujah, there's a God tonight.
Amen.
That can break chains. That can set the captives free. That can open the prison doors. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So they're fast in there. No way out of it. So here's Paul and Silas. Nothing they can do about it now. I can just see Paul turning to Silas and saying, listen, brother, there's no way we're getting out of this, naturally speaking. They hadn't got a mobile phone to call somebody and say, look, come and bail us out. They hadn't got the way with all the means to just pay somebody to come and get them out. They couldn't get to anybody. They couldn't reach anybody to come down. And, you know, if one of us was to take ill or something was to happen, we could get on the phone and call somebody. We could get somebody to come and help. But they're in a situation now, there's no way out. Paul said, there ain't no way we're getting out of this, Silas. So let's have church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's have church. Praise the Lord. We can't get out of this, so we might as well have church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We won't be able to get to the service on Sunday, so let's have church here. We can't get out of this place, so let's have church. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. At the midnight, you know, it's at the midnight hour the church wakes up. It's at the midnight hour the church of Jesus Christ wakes up. The Bible speaks about those virgins that all slumbered and slept. But at midnight,
amen,
there was a cry came, behold, the bridegroom cometh. That's when the church wakes up. Now at the midnight hour, I heard a preacher preach this once. It was a different message to me, but he gave it a good title. Wish I'd thought of it. He said, what will you be doing at 11:59? Hallelujah. I thought, Lord, I wish I'd thought that title. What will you be doing at 11:59? Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises, prayed and sang praises to God. It's that midnight hour that the church wakes up. It's at the midnight hour that the church comes back to what it should be. Praise be to God. Now notice, Paul and Silas there. Now here's these two great apostles. Now I want you to catch this. Here's these two great apostles of Jesus Christ. Great ministers. Paul had a greatly supernatural ministry. I guess Silas did also. They were apostles. Vindicated supernaturally. But at the midnight hour, Paul never spoke and rebuked the doors of that prison house. Paul never commanded the stocks to be loosed. Watch. He never commanded the chains to be broken. What he did is what you can do.
Amen.
What Paul and Silas did is what you can do, is what I can do. They prayed and sang praises
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
They prayed and sang praises to God.
Amen.
They weren't using their authority as apostles. They were using the authority of their position in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
Exactly the same authority that you've got.
That's
exactly the same authority that I've got. The Bible says we're kings. Jesus Christ, through his blood, praise the Lord, hath made us kings and priests. And so they began to praise God. Paul began to pray and sing praises to God. You know, sometimes we can find ourselves in situations, in circumstances. That's all God wants you to do. That's all God wants us to do, is to simply recognize who we are. The Bible says he's made us kings and priests. Well, a king rules. A king reigns. You know, when Paul and Silas were in those stocks, I want to believe something. They were sitting on a throne. They were sitting in the heavenlies. Amen. They weren't there as paupers. They weren't there as beaten down with children of God. They were there as kings and priests.
Amen.
They were there in a... Their dominion was to reign and to rule with Christ. Their authority was to worship and to praise and to give praises to God and to call on God and to sing to God and to pray unto the Lord. Kings and priests. They used the authority that they had as what they were in Jesus Christ, as kings and priests.
Yeah.
That's all they did. That's all you can do.
Right.
We're looking for something great. But just be who God's made you.
Amen.
Just be what He's made you in Christ.
Amen.
We are kings. We're not going to be kings and priests. We are kings and priests.
Amen.
Over in Revelation chapter 5, there's that great host singing and worshiping God. Singing that new song there, praise the Lord. Singing about the blood. Singing about redemption.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. When we first come to Christ, what was the bad thing that really mattered? It was the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And the cross of Jesus.
Amen.
The only thing that mattered, it wasn't about the church. It wasn't about the doctrine of the church, the doctrine of the movement. It wasn't about any personality or personal ministry. It was about the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from sin.
Amen.
The preaching of the cross that delivers from the dominion of sin. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, when we go to leave this earth and to go and be with Jesus Christ, that's going to be the same thing.
That's right.
It's not going to be about the church we went to. It's not going to be about the group.
That's right.
Like they were singing over there. They're singing about the blood.
Glory.
They're singing about redemption.
That's right.
That's the only thing that matters, friends. Is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the cross of Jesus Christ.
Right.
In the cross, be my glory ever.
Hallelujah.
Till my wretched soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We get so sidetracked, don't we? We get so caught up with things that really don't matter, but when it comes to it, when it comes to the real things that matter, it's just about the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's about that blood tag.
Amen.
It's about being born again of the Spirit
Amen.
Of God. It's about the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We came to Christ through the cross.
Amen.
We came to Christ by the blood.
Amen.
And we leave this earth and we go and meet Him.
Yes.
By the blood of Jesus and through the preaching
Amen.
Of that cross.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the Lord's name.
Yes.
So they began to sing praise. You know, if we're ever going to get anywhere, we're going to have to come back to the simple good old ways.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Paul and Silas, they didn't sit down there debating the latest doctrine. They didn't sit down there debating the latest mystery. They got back to the things that really matter.
Amen.
Oh,
Amen.
Sometimes God has to put us in the prison house. God has to put us in the stocks to get us back to the things that really matter. To get us back to the things that really, the gospel's all about.
Right.
Let's get a quick scripture. Let's go into Jeremiah. Excuse me, I don't want to keep you long, but Jeremiah chapter 6. If we're ever going to get out of this slumber, we're going to have to come back to the good old ways. We're going to have to come back to the way God intended it to be. Praise the Lord. Look at something in Jeremiah chapter 6, I believe it is. Yeah, 6 and verse 16. Amen. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. I wonder how many people are standing in the ways today. And see and ask for the old paths.
Amen.
When asked how many people today are asking for the old paths. There's too many new paths today.
Right.
There's too many people running out on new paths today.
Right.
New trails. But they lead to death.
Right.
The good old way is in the old paths.
Amen.
It's never changed. Right. The good old way is in the old paths.
Amen.
Ask for the old paths. Where is the good? Notice the old paths. But they always bring to the good. Not ways, the good way. There's only one way.
Lord.
Jesus said, I am the way.
Yes, Lord.
Not the ways. I am the way, the
Amen.
Truth, and the life.
Right.
And walk therein. And you'll find rest to your souls. All the world today needs rest. So many of God's people, tossed about by every wind of doctrine, need rest.
Mm-hmm.
But that rest is in the good old ways.
Amen.
That rest is in those old paths.
Lord.
That rest is in that old way. There's no other way. There's only one way. Hallelujah. We're ever going to get out of this slumber. It's because we came back to the good old paths. It's because we came back to the old way. It's because there was a desire, there was a longing, there was an asking.
Amen.
There was a praying, there was a calling.
Thank you, Jesus.
for the old way. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord's name. But how many people are desiring that today? How many people are wanting that today? How many people are looking by that today? There's just so much modern stuff today. There's just so much nonsense today. Those old paths are getting covered over. But they're still there. Those paths have never been removed. Those paths, those trails are still there. But I'll tell you, every trail, every path will lead you to the good way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It'll lead you to the same place those apostles were taken to. It'll lead you to the same place the early church was taken to.
Amen.
It'll lead you to the same place that Paul was taken to. Silas was taken to. Every blood-bought child of God. It'll take you back to the good old ways. Where is the good old way? Praise the Lord. We're ever going to get out of that old prison house. We're ever going to get out of this slumber. It's because we come back to the good old way. It's because we seek and desire and long once again for the old past. Either that or we're going to have to get used to living in a prison cell. I don't want to live in a prison cell. I might find ourselves in a prison cell. I might find a spiritual prison cell. Anybody that's been to prison will tell you they didn't want to go back there. But I want to tell you something. Praise the Lord. If God's with you, He's going to bring you out. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Blessed be the Lord. Let's read on. That midnight hour. It's that midnight hour. It's that midnight hour. The church wakes up. She rubs the sleep out of her eyes. And she wakes up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And at midnight, Paul and... Now they didn't sit there complaining about their lot in life. They didn't sit there complaining about their circumstances or their situation. They did what every one of us have a right as kings and priests, sons and daughters of God to do. They began to pray and sing praises. That's all they could do. They could do no more. Sometimes God will put you in a situation, but all you can do is come back to the good old ways. Sometimes God will bring you to a place where there's nothing else you can do. You can't maneuver, you can't manipulate, you can't get out of your circumstance, you can't get out of your situation. All you can do is come back to the good old way. Hallelujah. Come back to the good old... Sometimes God will allow that. Praise the Lord. And they sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake.
Amen.
You know, I like that when God moves, it's generally suddenly. You can go for years, nothing happening, or it perceives to be nothing happening. But when God ever moves, it's generally suddenly. Praise the Lord. Are you looking for your suddenly moment?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you expecting a suddenly moment? You can go for years and everything just seems the same. Everything just seems mundane. Everything's boring. Nothing's changing. And suddenly. Hallelujah. He's a God of the suddenly.
Amen.
He's a Lord of the suddenly.
Amen.
The Bible says, I believe it's in Malachi, that the Lord shall suddenly come. Malachi 3:1. The Lord shall suddenly come to His temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom He delighted in. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for a suddenly moment. I'm looking... It looks like in the world is just carrying on just the same. Didn't the Bible warn about that? Didn't Peter tell about that as it was in the days of Noah? The world is just either be scoffers in the last days, saying, where's the promise of His coming? For all things continue as they were from the beginning of the world. But there's a suddenly moment.
Amen.
There was a suddenly moment in the days of Noah.
Right.
That man had preached for 120 years. I had a message called the longest, most unsuccessful ministry in the Bible. That man preached for 120 years. I'd like to have seen his mission report. For 120 years that man preached. A preacher of righteousness. Declaring the righteousness of God. See, preaching's not about success. It's not even about failure. It's about declaring the righteousness of God. And Noah for 120 years preached that message. Faithfully stayed with it. A preacher, he didn't vary on it. He didn't change it. He didn't adapt to the conditions. He was still preaching the same message 120 years later as he was preaching right down there at the beginning. But a preacher of righteousness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What about it when Jesus went to those spirits in prison that were disobedient in the days of Noah? What message do you think they got?
Yeah.
I believe he said, you remember that old crank you laughed about? Yes. Do you remember that old man that was building that boat? It was such a big joke. You turn on your TV sets and it was on the news all the time. The old cranks laid another beam down. The old cranks started to paint with pitch.
Yes.
You remember, it was a big laugh. The comedians were all joking about it, making fun about it.
But I want you to know that that old boat he was building was speaking of me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That old boat, that old ark that he was pointing you to, that old ark that he was telling you to come up to, was speaking of me. I'm that ark. Don't you remember when that gangplank was left open? Don't you remember all those? You walked past it day after day after day. But it was a joke. But suddenly,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Suddenly, the rains came. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for a suddenly moment. I'm looking for Jesus to come. Didn't Jesus say in the scriptures, "Behold, I come quickly"? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible says suddenly there was a great earthquake. Now we read in the scriptures of earthquakes. It's all through the Bible. Jesus said one of the signs of the last days would be earthquakes in diverse places. But whenever you read in the word of God of a great earthquake, whenever you read in the scriptures of a great earthquake, it's always in relation to deliverance or resurrection.
Amen.
Praise. I'm looking for an earthquake deliverance, church.
Amen.
It's always in relation to a deliverance or a resurrection. Hallelujah. Yes. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. This earthquake came. Now, I guess somebody could have said, you know what, that's just a natural event in this area. But I believe that was a supernatural earthquake.
Amen.
I believe that was a heaven sent. Maybe they could analyze it and sit down and scientifically explain it all away like they can do today. But let me tell you something. I believe that was a heaven sent Holy Ghost earthquake. That was a God sent earthquake. It was an earthquake deliverance. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Notice what it did. That earthquake came because two men started to act in what they were in Jesus Christ. Because two men began to just stand upon the promises of God, began to recognize that they were seated together in heavenly places. Paul could write to the Ephesian church about being seated in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. Here's his chance to prove it. Amen. We can preach many, many things, but sometimes God will put you and me in a place to prove it. Do you really believe that? Are you really standing on that? But to Paul, that wasn't just a word. That wasn't just something he'd learned or picked up by somebody telling him. That was a revelation to his heart.
Amen.
That was a reality now. He's in the prison house, but today he's seated in the heavens in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He's a king, he's a priest, he's sat on a throne. He has dominion, he's reigning, he's ruling.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, you can make the darkest place a throne. You can make the dingiest prison house a place of rejoicing.
Right.
A place of victory.
Amen.
A place of deliverance.
Right.
So many people beaten to a corner today. Why? Because we don't recognize what he's done for us. We don't recognize what he's made us. Or if I can just get there. It's not about getting there. It's about recognizing you're already there. Because he's already there.
Amen.
It's not about attaining to anything. It's about recognizing it's already been attained for us.
Amen.
The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, he hath made us accepted. What a scripture.
Amen.
What a friend. Glory. What a beautiful word.
Amen.
He hath made us accepted. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. To the
Amen.
He hath made us accepted in the beloved.
That's right.
We're not accepted because of what we've done. We're accepted because of what he's done. Praise the Lord. So Paul begins to sing. Paul and Silas begin to sing praises to God. They begin to pray. They're just having church like it was, like they were just in a Sunday service. Wasn't any different. Their environment didn't change because they recognized their position. And when you recognize your position, you control your environment. I like the sound of that myself. I think I'll say it again. When you recognize your position, we can control the environment we're in.
Amen.
I didn't think I was going to say that. Where'd that come from? Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you recognize your position, we can control our environment. God help us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, and immediately, notice there was a great earthquake. Now what did this earthquake do? The Bible says, notice, the foundations of the prison were shaken. Notice, this earthquake, I believe it was a heaven sent earthquake. It didn't open the prison doors. I want to show you, it didn't open the prison doors, it just shook the foundations. Because once you've dealt with the foundation, remember what I spoke about, the cause and the symptom? Once you've dealt with the cause, the symptoms are going to go.
Right.
Notice, once the foundation's dealt with, the doors aren't going to stay shut very long.
All right.
Hallelujah. Once you once the foundations get a shake,
amen.
And notice, Satan's got a prison house, but there ain't no locks on Satan's prison. There are no locks on Satan's doors because the Bible says Jesus, hallelujah,
yes,
has got the keys,
glory,
of death and hell.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God don't mess with the doors. They're already dealt with.
Amen.
Jesus already went down there and got the keys
right
off him.
Right.
So he said, okay, son, I'll shake the foundation.
Amen.
Open the door. Praise the Lord. When the foundations are dealt with, the doors are coming open anyway.
Amen.
And listen, a foundation is only as strong. Any building, any kingdom, anything is only as strong as its foundation. The scripture says, I believe it's in the Psalms chapter 11, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now that's speaking about the people of God. But I want you to know something. If the foundations of Satan's kingdom are destroyed, what can he do? There's nothing he can do. If he's found, now Satan's whole kingdom, listen, is based on a lie. Jesus said he's the father of lies. He can't speak the truth. He's a liar from the beginning.
Right.
Satan's kingdom is based on a lie. That foundation of Satan's kingdom is a lie. Somebody said, I didn't know the devil's lying to you every time he opens his mouth.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Right.
His kingdom, his foundation is a lie. Notice, a lie is only as strong as you want to make it. I can tell you the biggest whopper there is, but you've got to believe it.
That's right.
Is that right? I could come here and tell you lies about Tommy. Say I wanted to defame him or something like that. But I can just give you the lie. I can't make you believe it. You give the lie its power. You give the lie, you give that lie its power, not me. I just gave you the lie. But you're the one that has, why? Because you're a creator. We're made in the image of God. So I give that lie. Now you can either say, get out of here, that's crazy, I don't want to hear any more of it. Or you can sit there and you can think, well, wait a minute, is that right? And you can muse over that. And you can sit there thinking about that. And as you think upon that, that lie begins to grow and begins to take hold. But the devil didn't give the lie its power. He's got no power. His power was stripped at Calvary. It's all gone. But he's a master of deception. He can still come along and give you the lie. He can still get you to believe you're locked in. He can still show you a closed door. But I want you to know, you might be looking at a closed door, but I want you to know, friends, there's no locks on that door. There's no locks on it. He can keep you in a prison house of depression. He can keep you in a prison house of guilt. He can keep you out of a prison house of fear. He can keep you, he can have you convinced to believing there's no way out of there, but I want you to know there's no locks on that door.
Amen.
And God ever sends an earthquake,
amen,
he ain't going to deal with the doors, he's going to deal with the foundation.
Right.
The doors will come open anyway, hallelujah.
Right.
You recognize that, and at that, when Satan's kingdom is shaken, when he's found out to be a liar, his kingdom comes crashing down.
Amen.
It cannot stand.
Amen.
Any kingdom, any building, anything is only as strong as its foundation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So God sent an earthquake. And it shook the foundations. And when the foundations were shook, the doors flew open. Oh, I'm looking for an earthquake one of these days, friends.
Amen.
I'm looking for a Holy Ghost earthquake that's going to shake the foundations,
yeah,
of Satan's kingdom again.
Amen.
The church needs it. The people of God need it. Families need it. Homes need it. Marriages need it. Sons and daughters need it. Oh, God, send an earthquake.
Amen.
Send an Holy Ghost earthquake. You know, when God moves, he don't sit like psychoanalyzing everything. He just shakes the foundation to pieces. He just shakes the foundation to pieces. Praise the Lord, you can come out. You don't have to stay there. Did you ever notice that? Jesus said the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound up. He didn't bring you out of prison, he opened the doors. You've got to come out.
Amen.
You don't have to say that. You have to recognize you're a king, you're a priest. and you don't have to stay in your prison house. I know those prison houses can sound pretty convincing. They can look pretty convincing. They cannot get you to feel there's no way out, but the whole thing's just a big bluff. But if the foundations be destroyed, if the foundations be destroyed, hallelujah, praise be to God. I like that. Goes on to say, the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. I like that. He's the God of the suddenly. He's the God of the immediately. He's the God of the now. He's the same yesterday, today,
amen,
and forever.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Notice, immediately all the doors were opened. It goes on to say, everyone's bands were loose. Now remember, God sent that earthquake there to get Paul and Silas out. God sent that earthquake to get Paul and Silas out of the prison. But everyone else benefited from that.
Yeah.
Everybody in that prison house was blessed by that. Yeah. Everybody else's bands were loose. You know, when God sends a revival, everybody benefits from it. But the reason he sends a revival is for a specific purpose. Like I said this morning, we're told to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. Not what the Spirit's doing. We rejoice in what the Spirit's doing. But what the Spirit's doing is for a purpose. So this revival, when God sends a revival there, it's to get Paul and Silas out of that prison house. But everybody else is blessed. When God pours his Spirit out, everybody is blessed. But you've got to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. There's a communication. I remember my father-in-law back in the 50s and 60s. Him and two other brothers. He said they used to go into a little shed of chicken creek. He said they lay there for hours, slain under the power of God. Slain, couldn't move. Hours out in the power of God. But he said, I used to think, what's it for, Lord? But there was a voice behind that. When God ever does anything, there's a reason he's doing it. The Spirit's there, but we're to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. There was a call going forth. Come out of Babylon.
Amen.
Come out of Babylon. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God was there. Blessed be. Immediately.
Amen.
Everyone's blessed by that. Everyone received the benefits of the revival. That's where Satan can sometimes play a big trick on the people of God. When he sends an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, we get so taken up with a move. And praise God that we sometimes miss what the move's there for. We sometimes fail to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. But the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ through every church, through every age, was to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Praise the Lord. Satan can sometimes get us so taken up with a move, then we go off and make a move of our own. We go up and do this, and we're living off the blessings of it. But we're failing to see what it's there for. We're failing to understand the mind of the Spirit on the thing. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry I'm keeping you too long. I'm going to stop now. Praise the Lord. You know, I believe one of these days God's going to send an earthquake. I believe he's going to send a natural earthquake as well. I do. Now you say, why you say that? Now I don't say that dogmatically. But I do believe that one of these days, because you look through the scriptures, when Jesus was crucified, there was an earthquake.
Amen.
There was an earthquake. And after that earthquake, there was a resurrection. You see, that earthquake that came when he died, it didn't just open prison doors. It opened the graves. Oh,
amen.
Glory!
Hallelujah.
I'm looking for an earthquake, friends. Oh, God's going to send a spiritual earthquake that's going to open prison doors. Set the captives free. I'm looking for that. I'm going to rejoice in that. But hallelujah, I'm looking for an earthquake. I'm looking for an earthquake. It's not only going to open prison door, it's going to open the graves. It's going to open the graves.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, they say that this last church age began with an earthquake. The last church age of Laodicea. Maybe you might have a different opinion on that. That is perfectly all right. But I do believe that it's going to finish with an earthquake. Hallelujah. And I believe it's going to open the graves. The dead in Christ shall rise first. I was looking at something the other day in the scriptures. Let me share this with you. And again, you can take or leave this. But you know, the Bible says the dead in Christ rise first. You ever wonder why the dead in Christ rise first? I was reading about the Jewish marriage service, the Jewish marriage ceremony. In a Jewish marriage ceremony, what happened was, when the bridegroom was leaving his house, the friends of the bridegroom that were with him in his house would go before him and cry, "Behold, the bridegroom's coming." And so everybody that was sleeping there in their houses and things, they got up and trimmed their lamps and waited for the arrival of the bride. I wonder if that's why they did in Christ Rise first. That when that resurrection comes, they're going to come with a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom's coming." I don't know that, but I kind of thought, that's strange. Mm-hmm. However, we don't have to understand those things, but I believe he's coming. Now he's coming. Yeah. He can come how he wants for me. I just want to go when he comes. Yes. Praise the Lord. I just want to be there when he comes. I just want to go with him when he comes. I want to hear the shout, "Behold, the bridegroom." Go ye out to meet him. And friends, I want to go out to meet him with oil in my lamp. Oil in my vessel. Filled with the Holy Ghost. The only way to meet him, friend, is filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, the foolish, what made them foolish? Was they only had oil in their vessel. The wise had oil. They only had oil, excuse the foolish, only had oil in their lamps. But the wise had oil in their vessel. Praise the Lord. You know the great problem today is so many people take the anointing of the Holy Ghost for the seal. The oil, the anointing in the lamp. But that's that seal of God. Paul spoke about he which has anointed us and sealed us. Praise the Lord. With the Holy Ghost is God. I want that oil in my lamp. I want that oil manifest in Christ. Amen. I want that oil showing Christ. I want that oil moving every blessing God's got. Every gift of the Spirit God's got. Every unction of the Spirit God's got. Everything that God's got, I want it. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want that seal. I want that oil in the lamp. That when the bridegroom comes, I can go out to meet him. Amen. Not with fear, not with trepidation, but with a rejoicing heart. Hallelujah. What singing there will be up there. What glory for the saints to share. When face to face with Jesus we shall stand. And join a happy choir in a better land. What singing there will be up there. What glory for the saints to share. Sing glory, glory, glory. What singing there will be up there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray, friends. Thank you, Father, for your help tonight. Thank you for your strength. I pray that these words which have been spoken, you'll take them and quicken them to the hearts of the people that are here tonight. Again, my prayer is if anything's hurt anyone or offended anyone, I would not mean to do that. But Lord, just may it just go to the hearts of the people. And may the Holy Spirit rightly divide the word of truth to every heart. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, if you want to do anything more, we just humbly invite you and ask you, Lord, have your way, Lord Jesus. We don't know anything. We can do nothing, Lord. We're powerless and we're helpless, Lord. But if you want to do something, Lord, tonight, for somebody here, Lord, we invite and we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to do that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just wait for a moment. Thank you. I don't need to labor the fact. But tonight, as Brother Tommy said, if you want prayer, if you need prayer, we're happy to pray with you. We're happy for you to come and we're just happy to stand with you in prayer and just to lay hands upon the sick or whatever that need would be tonight. We'd be happy to do that. I believe God can reach you and touch you right now where you're at. But sometimes it's helpful to people to come and to be prayed for and, you know, for the ministers and so forth to put their hands upon them. But that's just entirely up to you. But let's just worship the Lord for a few moments. But if you feel you want to do that, I just simply invite you to come and pray with you tonight. Not going to labor the fact, not going to keep pleading and pulling and calling. I'm just simply going to say, if you want to be prayed for, you can come tonight. And we'd be happy to pray with you. Amen. Cover me, extend the borders.